You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Today, we're joined by Braille teacher Mel Pritchard. Mel, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into teaching Braille and the Braillist Foundation as well, can you give us a little bit of your own background with Braille, please?
I learned Braille as a child. I'm now in my 60s, so I've been doing Braille a little while now. Just automatically learned it because I had no sight. And then didn't really have much to do with Braille until I was in my 30s. After having my child, I went back to work and there was a job on offer for a Braille teacher for adults. So I decided I wanted to get back into work, started teaching for the Adult Education Service, and I've been teaching Braille on and off ever since, really. I'm sort of retired now, but I still work as a volunteer for the Braillist Foundation, which means I can carry on teaching adults Braille when I feel like it.
So tell us a wee bit about the Braillist Foundation then.
They do various events, online events, and we did quite a lot during lockdown, which wasn't actually just Braille. That was just to give people something to do, bring people together. But we did start a Braille for Beginners course way back then as well. So the Braille for Beginners now continues and it is now online. So you can actually sign up for Braille for Beginners. You get an information pack, actually a pack of Braille that you can work along with, and you get some audio lessons. So that course is running all the time. Just as an online option. We used to do Braille for Beginners and we did find that as soon as you started a course, you were a couple of weeks in, somebody else wanted to join. So there was never a good time to do a Braille for Beginners course. So that works quite well. The other events we do, we have a book club, which encourages people, once they've learned the Braille, they can come along to the book club and continue practicing in a safe space, safe environment with other like-minded people. So they very much enjoy that. And then we have all sorts of masterclasses and other Braillist events. They can be on technology, they can be on something less technological like a Perkins, or we've done them on all sorts of topics.
Now, you've mentioned already that you learned Braille when you were a child. How did learning Braille as a child impact the way that you've gone on to teach Braille? And also, like, how has teaching Braille changed over the years since then?
Okay, I don't really remember much about learning Braille as a child, but I think it was just very automatic. Everything in the school was labelled and you learned in a very haphazard way. I'm glad to say adult learning of Braille seems to be a little bit more organised. But it's true to say that having learned Braille as a child didn't help me so much when teaching adults, because I just assumed that everybody would be able to feel the Braille just like I could. It didn't occur to me that someone who had never used their sense of touch before would have to be taught to feel before they were taught Braille. So I floundered a bit in the beginning and I did a little bit of a learning curve and started again and made a better job of it. And I think that is really, really important, that people need to learn to use their sense of touch before they can actually learn the Braille. And doing it that way, we seem to get really good results. So, you know, it depends on people's reason for learning Braille. We try and make it useful to the individual. We try and encourage people to have a goal for learning. So, you know, they might be wanting to learn for work. I certainly used Braille in my work, even before I was a Braille teacher. They might be learning for leisure. Whatever they're learning, whatever their reason, we try and make it, you know, useful to them as an individual, because that helps them as it starts to get a little bit more difficult.
And you're obviously really passionate about Braille. You wouldn't be doing this if you weren't. So what does it mean to you just sharing Braille with other people?
I can't describe the buzz it gave me the first time I taught someone who had never touched Braille before, and she was actually in her 80s, and she only came along to the class because she said her sons had sort of forced her into it. She didn't really want to come, but she thought she'd just come to keep them quiet. And she ended up, even at that age, you know, she ended up reading library books and whatever she wanted to read. She just did it for, you know, for pleasure. And when she got her first library book and told me she'd finished reading it, gave me such a buzz that I'd given her something back. I think it's giving something back to someone who can no longer read, and then being able to read again, being able to enjoy books. And I never get tired of that. It just gives me such a buzz.
And Braille, I'm looking at this from, say, the perspective of learning another language. Is it quite similar to that?
It's different. I'm smiling as I say this because in the adult education service, when they first started teaching Braille, they tried to put us in so many different departments because, of course, you've always got to be somewhere in the education service. And they tried us in languages, they tried us in literacy, and then they put us back to languages. And I think we ended up in literacy because it is a literacy skill at the end of the day. It's not quite like learning a language because most of the people who are learning Braille already have the skill of English. So they're learning more from a literacy angle. You're learning your letters and then you learn the short forms if you go on to what we call grade two Braille, so the more advanced Braille. So it's not really like learning a language. It's just like learning to read again.
With this being Braille's 200th anniversary, can you describe in a few words just the impact that Braille has had on your life?
I have always used Braille, as I say, especially when my son was little. If I couldn't have read books to him as a child, I would have found that really, really sad. So that was one of the main things about Braille. And just reading for pleasure, it's so different to a talking book, actually being able to physically read and write when I wish to, and using it for my work as well. It's had a huge impact on my life.
Well, where can our listeners go if they want to find out more about the work that goes on at the Braillist Foundation?
Well, the Braillist Foundation website is www.braillists, that's braillists.org. And there is everything you can possibly wish to know somewhere there on their website.
Well, Mel Pritchard from the Braillist Foundation, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.